Fred, just picture this. It's a cold, blustery night in Clapham. I'm in my Canterbury tracksuit bottoms, my Clapham Falcons hoodie, and my flip-flops. And I'm just checking my Instagram as the followers continue to grow, and I bump into someone, and I look up, and it's Ben Foden. It's only 7 p.m, so he's still got 3 hours to the pub close. And I just say to him, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, 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 more lash. And Ben Foden goes, mate, you look exactly like me, like same build, same hair, although you got better chat. And I go, yeah, I know. Listen, why don't we tackle the triangle of terror in Clapham Old Town and get on it? And he goes, okay, what are you suggesting? And I say, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash. And then me and Foz just get on it, and we're like posting stories on Instagram of us getting on the lash, and like Dylan Hartley wants to get involved, and we're like, no, fuck off, Dylan Hartley. And like everyone starts coming to the pub because they hear like the magician and Foz are getting on it, and we're in the final pub, the Sun, and like everyone comes into the pub, and everyone just stands up because they realise it's me. Not Ben Foden's there, but they realise it's me, and then everyone just goes, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. And then basically, I realised that I'm a full blown celebrity, and I just get the pick of all the cheekers, and I take one back and have a seriously good little session with her, mainly just dry humping.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to season 3. We are back and we are ready for business, ladies and gents. And thank you so much for joining us.
It's back, set to be bigger than ever.
Yeah, we are indeed. It's set to be
season 3. Onside chat.
We are set.
Onside chat.
What is that?
That's my new thing.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, you're making I've rugby taken business.
Something I learned in rugby, and right. I've applied it to this. And you say it with me. Onside chat.
And then, yeah. Does actually feel quite good, didn't it, actually?
Yeah.
In a weird way. Well, guys, thank you.
When I'm thinking about the guests, I'm saying, my man. Okay. And I just know that the old Bantz has to be on fire.
Right, okay. Well, let's hope it is for this, because it's the first episode of season 3. We've obviously set ourselves a mammoth challenge. I mean, last season, we did set an incredible challenge as well for Arch, but he really massively let us all down. But hopefully this time...
Yeah, but Freddie, you say that... But a lot of the feedback I've had from, you know, especially the female listenership, where they breathed a sigh of relief knowing that the old chief chat officer is still free and single.
I hasten to believe that's true, Archie. I mean,
no, it's true. True. Yeah. I'll show you messages.
Okay.
So not now, though. Not now, because we're doing the pod.
Right, okay.
Well, and I'm onside chat.
Well, guys, obviously we're setting ourselves the most mammoth challenge we could possibly think of, which is to try and get a number one, a Christmas number
one. We're going
to
do it.
I believe we can. And to raise
some
funds.
We've got a hell of a song.
For Restart Rugby. The song is actually really, really good. And we've got some wonderful guests, hopefully, which we can lure in and make it.
I've got a beautiful voice.
It's going to be like Band-Aid.
I've got a beautiful voice.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, you are a musician, yeah. And I'm singing a song. That says something.
Yeah, well.
It's whatever I turn my hand to.
Well, should we do some topical stuff? I mean, it's quite
that's
hard.
That's why a lot of the people listen to this podcast. Yeah. We're highly topical.
It's quite hard to avoid the fact that we've gone into sort of this three-tier lockdown. Yeah. You know,
upper class, middle class, lower class.
Well, no, it's just the south and north. At the moment. The north are locked up and the south are free to roam. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, if I was PM, I'd lock the north up.
What, even without a virus?
Yeah, they don't really offer much.
But mate, what's that going to do to the economy?
Pretty sure if you look at the economy, I'm not sure north of Luton really provides anything to the economy.
Right, okay. And so you don't really care for your northern brethren. But what about all those uni students?
I don't have any relatives that are northern.
No, I mean,
and if I did, I don't know them.
Right, okay. But what about the uni students who've, you know, they're going off on these new paths to become better people?
Yeah.
And they're locked up in their halls all day long.
Yeah. I'd say some of the best times I've ever had at uni was with the rugby boys, where we went into a room, I locked the door, and I said, right, boys, we're drinking this piss before anyone gets out of here. If you need a shit, go in that corner of the room. You need a piss, go in the corner of that room. And we are not leaving here. It's the ideal situation if you're a uni lad.
Right. So you're actually saying, let's not feel sorry.
Lockdown lash.
You're saying, let's not feel sorry for the students.
No.
They should be celebrating.
Mate, this is what they need. It will help them learn. They'll come out of this a lot stronger.
You're actually seriously saying you're jealous the fact they're locked up together?
Yeah, massively. I'm actually contemplating getting all the rugby boys and having focus over to my house and locking them in my house for a weekend and saying, right, boys, we're going to get through it, all this piss. Jeez, together.
Fucking hell, mate. Well, in sort of stronger and more positive news, we've got one of the biggest names of rugby.
We're starting season three, as we plan to go on, with one hell of a guest.
Yep.
A guy that a lot of people say I look like. What? Yeah. We got the same kind of lid.
What, you and Foden?
We play the same kind of way. Yeah, Ben Foden and me. I get mistaken for Ben Foden quite a lot on a night out.
I just can't believe that.
Similar body shape, similar lid. I've probably got better chat.
Right. Well, at least he achieved one thing which he couldn't, and that was to get a wife in 10 weeks.
Now you've heard my voice of this song we're releasing. I probably could do Celebrity X Factor next year.
Mate, I wouldn't put all your.
I'd probably take all your eggs Nicole in one Scherzinger from Tom there.
It's brilliant to have Beaufort and Blake back in store for, you know, one more episode. Yeah. I mean,
the coin just keeps coming in. I was thinking about this the other day. No matter what I do, I'm just making money. I'm sitting at my desk in the city, I'm making money. I'm talking to a microphone, I'm making bloody money.
Well, it's a very good point. We had
making it rain. I'm a rain maker.
We had a lot of messages from
and
the
fans. And Beaufort and Blake, mate, to be honest, are a superb sponsor to have.
They really are. And we had
the
a lot.
The stash they have sent me, mate.
What did you
the
get?
The stash.
What have you got?
Oh, well, look at me. I'm wearing the grey.
Is that all Beaufort and Blake?
Yeah, all Beaufort. Chinos, shirt, jumper, boxer shorts.
Right.
It's honestly
Did you go into the city today?
I went, but I had no big meeting, so it's perfect attire. Just cruised in. Honestly, the kit is so comfortable. I could CrossFit in this.
Fuck me.
That would actually be some fairly good chat if you had like a Beaufort and Blake chinos CrossFit competition. That's actually an idea. Write that down.
Okay, I'll write that down.
It just covers all bases.
Go on. Professional, private, everything.
Yeah.
I honestly, every box is ticked.
I could go to a business meeting like this, and they would take me seriously.
Yeah.
Obviously, I prefer to wear my suit.
Of course.
Just because it is.
But if it was a Friday, then it doesn't really matter, right?
No. But now thinking about it, we should try and get my tailor to sponsor the podcast so I can get a free suit.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that. But for now, if you guys want...
Look at this, Fred. Look at this.
What are you doing? You're squatting. You're squatting. No break. Yeah, no break. No break. What are you... That was
it is great kit. This kit, I could chase a girl down Clapham High Street.
It's high quality. It really is. And you look great in it, I must say. So guys,
it hugs to the skin. Really does.
Do you mind if we put up some
photos?
It's
like a skin, you know, what you wear underneath your rugby kit.
Yeah, skin, I remember that.
That is actually... I wrote to them ages ago and said, you guys should make t-shirts.
Yeah.
Because it's a great look. And Beaufort and Blake's kit is very much like that. Hugs.
Yeah.
Hugs to my skin.
You just look, it sort of shapes the body even
I
more
look good,
perfectly.
Right?
You look fantastic. I'll tell you what we do. We should put some photos up of you wearing that kit just to show everyone. You know, because obviously podcast, they can't see you. But we should definitely put some photos up.
We should start filming because people should see me.
It's true. Actually, I do want to start filming. But anyway, guys, if you want to get 15% off this Beaufort and Blake, which is just incredible... What's he doing now? He's now doing press-ups, ladies and gentlemen. But still looking wonderful.
Oi, Clody, is there a code?
There is a code. It's RIGBIZ15 to get 15% off all your order.
Boom!
So if you guys are
You're
trying
welcome.
To stack up pre-Christmas or whatever you want to do, just get this new wonderful autumnal look going. Then get on the Beaufort and Blake website.
That is c.h.a.t chat.
Yeah, just put RIGBIZ15 on the checkout and you'll get 15% off everything.
Or if you're like me, don't even bother. I don't even use codes.
No, mate, we do want them to use the code.
Why?
Because then we can track our performance and hopefully, you know, get Beaufort and Blake to stand for longer.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Guys, do it and then spend the money you save on Lash.
Yeah. Well, tag Archie and the RIGBIZ account in your photos of the new kit as well.
Yeah.
Right, guys.
It's great kit for number 32.
Perfect. Archie, are you ready to meet Mr.
Bring him in. Bring him in, mate. This is going to be one hell of a match.
Are you sure?
Season 3, first fixture, Ben Foden versus the CEO of Clapham. Bring him in.
We're going transatlantic.
Onside. Onside. Chat. Here he is. Welcome. to the arena of banter.
God, what have I let myself in for?
It's good to have finally someone with a seriously good lid on the show.
I had it chopped. You're unlucky. If you phone me, if we did it last time, we were supposed to. It was like down to like here. But
no, it's strong. It's strong. I've always admired your lid.
Today, we're delighted to be joined by ex-Sale Northampton Saints and England international Ben Foden to help kick start Series 3 in some fashion.
Big gun.
Firstly, what's life been like living in New York over the last 6 months during the pandemic?
It's been, well, I got out of Dodge just when it was all kicking off. I knew like Manhattan was going to be like a big buzz area for it. So me and my wife decided to move from our Manhattan place out to Connecticut. So her parents have a summer house out here. So we've just moved out here, spent the summer in the countryside and away from all the craziness. But it's been a bit turbo. You know, America itself is a bit mental at the moment with the elections and all that sort of stuff. And Black Lives Matter and then obviously coronavirus. So it's been a bit crazy. But, you know, life goes on. So
That seriously, Freddie, that's the kind of wife I want. Is I want, if I'm going to marry someone, I want her parents to have a house in the countryside.
Mate, of course. How did you keep yourself entertained? Obviously, you've got a little baby, a little child, and obviously a relatively new wife. But surely, as a gentleman, as a man, you need to break out and have a blowout once in a while. So how did you keep yourself entertained, and what do you do for a blowout when you're in Connecticut?
Weirdly, it's been sort of like spending a bit of time on Zoom, on House Party and all these. And that's how I sort of keep in touch with my mates back in England anyway. So, but the problem is, obviously, you guys are 5 hours ahead. So when I used to call, it'd be like 7:30 for you guys. And obviously, that's a good time to start drinking, 7:30. Whereas for me, it's only 2:30. So if I started drinking with them, they'd all be legless at like 11 o'clock, wanting to go to bed. And it'd just be like the evening for me. So I'd have to still do the child duties and
of course.
Stuff and entertain here, so that's the problem with that one. But yeah, we've been quite good, really. Like you said, I've had the baby, and just I had my kids actually from England over for the whole of summer, so lots of swimming in the pool, a bit of tennis, and just messing around the house and having fun and games with those guys, sort of keep you entertained. And to be honest, you know, I'm feeling my age now, you know, just a couple of weeks with those guys, and I'm absolutely knackered. So,
well, I remember when Jim Hamilton did a brilliant feature when you first moved to New York, a friend of the show, and you were living in sort of like a frat house, it looked like, with other players.
I wasn't living in that house. So there was like a, where the hell was it based? It was like up in the Bronx, or it was in, I think it was in the Bronx. And that was like the team house where, you know, eight of the guys lived in a big house together. But I had my own, I had a one bedroom apartment on the Lower East Side. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't back to my student days. You know, I was still living a solitary life. But
that's what I'd imagine it would be for me if I made to America. They'd make accommodation. I'd probably have a penthouse.
There you go. That's how you got
away from the other, from all the sort of the rabble. I'd be, you know, yeah, I'd exactly. be the high salary player in my own place.
Yeah, but the rabble was nice to dive into. You know, if I went on a Friday, I could pop over to the rabble house, do loads of destruction, and then come back to my nice clean, you know, penthouse apartment.
That's ideal. Is the Bronx, I'm guessing the Bronx, is it sort of New York's answer to Clapham?
Yeah, sort of.
Foden, I used to work for Play Rugby USA, and so I'm very used to trudging all over New York to coach and play rugby from sort of Pier 40 to Randall's Islands. Now you've been there for a while and the league is, you know, really starting to grow. Have the facilities improved somewhat? I mean, how has life changed from when you first moved over there?
Well, yeah, well, you've just said it. You've just mentioned that you've experienced the Randall's Island. Did you ever get the bus across the Randall's Island?
Yeah, I actually used to get the same bus. You obviously play Rugby USA, I don't know if you know it, but it was like a charity.
Yeah, I do know.
Whoa, but, hold on. When did you... You don't play rugby, do you?
Mate, used to back in the day.
Yeah, okay. Because looking at the state of your chassis and you've got an earring, I'm not too sure that's allowed, mate.
Well, modern. I know. I was young. But yeah, trudging out there was a complete nightmare.
Yeah, well, that was the first year we were here. We used to train at Randall's Island, so I was a bit taken aback by that. Obviously, moving from Northampton, where the facilities are pretty nice and top notch. So, but we've come leaps and bounds. Now we were at Wagner College last year, and obviously colleges are well funded, and you know, we had a good weights room, good training fields, indoor, outdoor, and we had good meeting rooms, which was all facilitated by the by the colleges. And I'm not sure this year, I'm not sure whether we're staying at Wagner's or we're moving. But again, I think it'll be linked to another college, whether it's in New Jersey or in Connecticut, or whether we stay on Staten Island. I'm not really sure yet. I don't think the decision's been made. But
the key is to have good meeting rooms.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Not just when you're playing rugby, but when you're, you know, when you're working.
When you're working, yeah. The facade that things are going well.
Archie said that he was pretty confident that he could play out there, you know, maybe as a high-profile player. What standard would you say the league was?
Probably like Championship.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, look, I mean, folks, I don't know how much you know about me, but obviously I'm captain of the Clapham Falcons, which is South Division West 5. And
still striving to sign Bendon on it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think my dad tried to approach you. I don't know if you saw that article that came out on my Instagram. I'm a semi-pro.
What happened? Why did we come in stuck?
I don't know. I can't remember what my dad said. I think if I get the article up here, let me just get the article up. Where's the Benders one? Here it is. The Clapham Falcons were believed to be in talks with ex-England fullback Ben Foden, but talks broke down as the celebrity X Factor contestant demanded his own changing room and wanted the club to pay him for appearance fees on nights out with the team. I don't know if those rumours are true.
I can confirm. I always do like my own changing room.
Yeah.
it was one of the demands I put in for the X.
That's the problem. I have my own changing room. So my dad was sort of saying to me, look, you're going to have to move. I said, listen, Dad, I'm number 10. I'm social secretary, captain. I'm the chief chat officer. That's not going to happen. But unfortunately, Benders didn't happen, which is a shame, because Benders is a very good mate of mine.
Like all these big deals are always falling short for you.
That's the problem. It's not actually, you know, if I had the choice of running the club, but unfortunately my dad's the money man, and my money man, father, and my best friend.
Okay.
Hi. If my dad's listening, I don't think he listens, but if he does, good evening, Alistair. He prefers to be calling him by his first name.
Okay.
Ben, what's American rugby culture like?
He's a really good guy. You'd like him, folks. You like him.
I'm sure I would.
Yeah.
What's the rugby culture like there compared to playing back in England? Can you take us through sort of the normal initiation when you started playing there, or did you have to start that culture yourself? And what is a typical night out post a victory?
Well, that's one of the good things about playing over in America is that obviously each fixture you play, you go into a new city. So it's like Seattle, San Diego, you go to Austin, you go to Houston, and obviously before all the coronavirus hit, we could have a good night out afterwards. And usually the trip would last, you know, two nights. Usually you get there night before, have a good sleep, then play the game, and then you have a night out, and then you leave the next day. So it was one of the positives of moving out here and playing was, you know, seeing America and seeing the different cultures and the different ways of life in different places. I'd say that, you know, actually, to be fair to the lads, you know, we're actually quite a professional outfit in terms of the Lashing. Players. Well, players sort of like wanting to be professional athletes. They want to get better. They want to play, you know, for America in the end if they've got American residency, and they want to win the MLR and sort of put New York on the map. So, but we do have nights out. The old school sort of like court sessions were back in. You know, I'm a big fan of sort of like creating a culture. I think that rugby, you know, the better teams have really good cultures in terms of like not just turning up and training and disappearing off, but just sort of like knowing each other as mates. You know, have each other's backs, and I think sort of like, you know, friendships like that are formed over having a couple of beers wherever we are in the world. So we made the most of it. You know, we did a lot of sitting sitting in the hotels when, you know, the results haven't gone our way, but we still have a few beers just to talk over things. But, you know, when we were winning, you know, we always say celebrate your wins. So nights out, we had a big one in Vegas.
For the start of the season.
I've
heard Vegas is a lot like Clapham.
Yeah, it's exactly like Clapham, just like Inferno. It's just
You know Infernos. That's what I like. But folks, just quickly, I mean, what's the C.H.A.T, the chat? What's the chat like out there? Because I've done business with a few Americans, and sometimes they can't really keep up with my pitter patter, but most people can't. But I mean, how much of the team is made up of all, you know, the US guys, and what's their banter like? And then how much of the team is made up from, you know, Chattosaurus Rexes like yourself?
to be fair, it's probably like a 60-40 split towards Americans. Obviously, the rest of them are made up of anything from Irish, English, Colombian, Argentinian. Cool. We've, you know, we had a good mix.
That sounds like a lot of the my shag list.
Yeah, going around the world and completing it one by one.
Are they going to get, for instance, me coming in and just debagging a few of the boys?
Yeah, I think that'll go down.
What about the?
I think, you know, the boys, they do love a pair of Speedos.
Oh, okay, and these guys are good.
Yeah. So you'd have to be debagging. Like, I don't know how you like to debag. I think that if we're debagging, you go full
wet. Yeah. It's almost like a tackle for me, but from behind. The nose is towards the rear. As I crouch down silently and I go for the whole shift.
Ultra bang, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind getting the bum in my face.
Ideally, you pull it all the way down, stand on it, and then push them, right?
That's what I'm talking about. So they get that. What one of the initiations of the Clapham Falcons is the toothbrush in the bottom and singing the national anthem, followed by and everyone knows if they listen to the pod, a good old bum funnel. A Guinness through the bum crack into the mouth, which everyone loves. The boys still love it. It's probably my favourite method of drinking a Guinness these days.
I'm sure the Irish boys and the Australian boys will be all down for that. The American lads, I don't think they'd be too down for the bum fun. To be honest, I think that they're
okay.
They're quite sensitive.
Maybe start with a bum flick.
I think anything, like if you ease them into anything, you know, you get them to play along after, you know, maybe start with the debagging, bit of bum flicks. After 4 or 5 months, you can always get down to the bum funnels and all that sort
okay,
of stuff.
Okay, so that
you
was
do with the toothbrushes, by the way, where you just put the toothbrush in your
just
butt.
Just a toothbrush in the arse. It's just one of those. We're quite banterous, were we, in Clapham? I always have a toothbrush for the...
Once it's in, what do you do with it? You brush each other's teeth or what?
No, you keep it in there and you just, like, as he's singing, a lot of the boys just fiddle with it and try and put it in even further. My good mate Wetter, but you know, bless his socks, he's our hooker, he's having a terrible time at the moment. He's honestly put a lot of weight on, but he actually lost the toothbrush, we never found it. But really good guy Wetter, if you're listening, mate, I hope you're all good. A lot of toothbrush action in Clapham. It's just one of those things that I inherited when I came to the club. Folks, if you ever fancy a game, you are more than welcome.
Okay, well, you never know.
Ben, let's take you back briefly to your school days, where you seem to have done the opposite to Archie's teammate Pikey in terms of education, starting out at state school and then going to private for sixth form rather than the other way around. What are your memories of tearing it up on the pitch at Bromsgrove School and also off it? And what were the big differences, you know, going from state to private?
I honestly think that two of my best years of my life were when I went to Bromsgrove School and it was a boarding school. It was very rugby heavy, because I got basically scouted by their rugby master when I was playing for England 16s. And I loved it, yeah. Obviously, the days are a bit longer because you've got to get up at like 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:30 in the morning to go for breakfast, and then you had to go to church. And the school day ran to like 5:30. But, you know, once school was up, we had like keys to open windows and open... you know, fire doors and keys to pavilions, and the girls did the same. And
yes,
Bromsgrove
was
so we're out the windows and causing carnage and running around with
bit of spin the bottle,
bit of toothbrush action back then as well.
Oh yeah, there's nothing better than, I tell you what I miss about those days, which I think I'm actually going to bring back, and nothing better than a bit of dry humping. Do love it. It's so underrated.
So underrated.
Actually, took a little cheeker bet this weekend and had a bit of. Bit of dry humping and then a bit of headers and volleys. It was pretty decent.
Is that her choice or yours?
It was mutual, I think. She was asleep. So,
okay.
Well, no, she was dozy. I shouldn't say asleep. She did enjoy a bit of the... I think actually, if I'm being totally honest, I'm probably better at dry humping than at the real thing. I think I've got quite a good technique with the dry hump. It's something you should try. I try and sort of starch my zipper. So it makes it sort of stiff, and that adds to the sort of the movement and the rub. So just love a good dry hump.
Ben, years playing representative rugby for England age groups and county got you your first professional contract at Sale in 2004, where I'm right in saying you had your heart set on playing scrum half, but quickly were in competition with both England and Welsh internationals Wigglesworth and Dwayne Pill for the shirt. What stands out, however, is your highlight of playing for Sale in those, you know, in that era, mid-2000s, surely playing a part in the final to win the Premiership was up there.
Yeah, it was between me and Wiggy to start the final of against Leicester in the final. And obviously, you know, Wiggy had a lot more experience than me, and he went in and fought his cause, and he got the start in the end and actually got man of the match, played really well. So, you know, good for him. And then I came off the bench and played in the final. So within my first sort of 3 or 4 years playing professional rugby, I'd already won a, you know, a European competition and a Premiership and had those sort of winners' medals already. So I look back at my years at Sale pretty fondly. I didn't actually compete against Peel. They signed Peel as I left, and he was sort of like, his signing was sort of like the nail in the coffin that I was going to go, because obviously Peely being there and Wiggy, you know, it meant that I was sort of going to be number three, and you know, then you're sort of waiting for an opportunity or an injury to sort of show your stuff off. And having played England 21s for 2 years and stuff like that, I sort of, you know, wanted to get some more experience playing Premiership rugby. So I spoke to Jim Mallander, who's my old coach before he left, and Philippe came in at Sale, and then he was my coach at England 21s as well. So I decided to go off and play for Northampton.
When you first joined Sale, who
bloody good to pay. When you're doing your CV, folks, it's that start at Sale is great. Just key achievements, just put that at the top. That would grab my attention. I'd be like, this guy's employable.
Just before we leave the Sale days, can you tell our listeners how you got the nickname Pops?
Basically, on my first day of training from leaving school and going to Sale, the first day of training was the day of Pop Idol auditions. And I'd been on the RAS in Abbasoc, which is like in Wales, with my mates after doing the exams and all that sort of stuff. And on the way back, I was like, oh, buggery, I'm going to go and do a Pop Idol audition and have a bit of a sing song and see if I can get on the show. Anyway, I told my best friend this, a guy called Stu Coakley, who was the best man at my wedding. He then sold me out for brownie points, the academy coach. When I came in the next day, everyone knew that I'd skived off rugby. I told everyone I was ill, and everyone knew that I skived off the first day to go to a Pop Idol audition. Although I didn't make the audition because I was too hungover from partying in Abbasoc. So we got stuck in traffic on the way back. So I didn't actually go to the Pop Idol audition. But I then had to do a Pop Idol audition in front of all the boys at Sale and sing some songs for them, which was greeted by being met by throwing ashtrays at me and hurling abuse. So
that's good. That's good banter.
It was a short-lived career in the pop world anyway.
And now some words from our commercial partner, AC Limited, investing your money in the future so you don't have to worry. Introducing the Start Zipper from AC Limited. Give yourself the best a man can get, and improve your dry humping experiences from now until eternity. Just one way we're helping you help yourself. When you started your England career, Martin Johnson at times sort of refused to pick you, even when there were some injuries in positions where you could be playing. So was there beef with Big Jono? I mean, obviously it came back around.
No, it was more the backs coach, Brian Smith. Yeah, and the reason for that was, you know, Dellen Armitage was ahead of me, and Smithy was the old London Irish coach, and, you know, and the thing is, Dell was playing good rugby, you know, it was a position that didn't really need to change, if you know what I mean. Obviously, I was playing well and putting pressure on Dellen, but he was playing pretty well for England at the time.
And Benders was playing quite well.
And Benders, Benders is my age, Brownie is my age. Ollie Morgan was my age.
Morgs.
We all four of us played age group rugby together. I played 9. I think Morgs played 15, and then Brownie and Benders played on the wing during our, you know, Six Nations and World Cup when we were playing under 21.
That's a killer back three.
Was Kersey not there
Pops,
as well?
Benders and boring Brownie.
Yeah, all on the same team. Yeah, and actually Benders was the one who told me. I went on a Churchill Cup tour to America, actually, and those were always great tours because, you know, the competition was rubbish. We'd always smash everyone and we'd go on the piss every week for a couple of times. So it was good fun. But when I was there with Benders said to me, I said to him, what would you do if I was you? Because I was still umming and ahhing. I was still saying I wanted to play 9. I said, what would you do if you were me? And Benders said, I'd play 15 and I'd play for England. That's what I'd do. So Benders is the one who sort of, gave me
that. He's a spiritual godfather.
I had quite a similar conversation with Benders at school. You know, Bender said, I was playing 10. He was playing 10 as well. And he said, you know, look, do I continue at 10? And I just said, no, mate, you know, your future, if you want to make it. I said, look, I've seen you in the classroom. You're not bright. Okay. And, you know, at 10, you have to have a bit of chat. You've got no chat. Go to fullback and you'll have a great career. And he actually to this day always thanks me for that conversation. Moved to fullback and he's had a pretty good career. Okay. Although he never, I did at that point say, can
maybe
we
he learned his wisdom from you and passed it on to me. Maybe that was the one.
Yeah, so you're welcome. Cause but the thing is, I did say to Benders at the time, give me 10% of what you earn. When, can we spit and shake on it? And he said no, which is a big regret, I think, for him.
Cause I for think him?
Yeah, because I think...
He wants to give away 10% of all he's earned.
But I would have invested that in, you know, some exciting projects at AC Limited, my company, where we come up with all kinds of sorts of interesting business ideas. Like the one we've had recently is a barber jacket made of linen, so you can wear it in the summer.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. So you can just
We'll send you one out. Let's send Pops
I'll write that down. Fodes, you were briefly quote the most hated man in Wales during the 2013 Six Nations, leading to a bit of a bust up with Alan Wynne-Jones. Can you remind listeners how that came about? The story behind that?
Yeah. Obviously, it's what happens when they send in a very young, sort of arrogant Englishman to do some media before the big first game of the Six Nations against Wales in Wales. And I think I was quoted saying that basically like Wales was like England's little brother. And obviously that was the headline and it didn't go well. It didn't go down well with the Welsh fans and the Welsh players. But actually in that game, within the first 3 minutes, I got the ball out on the wing and Stephen Jones was the fly half. And he came in to try and melt me. And got his positioning wrong, and I sat him down and knocked him out, and we went on and won the game. So you know, I stand by my words.
I personally, I think Wales is like a very distant cousin.
I was generous saying they were a little brother.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I wasn't saying it in sort of like stature. I was saying in sort of like positioning in Great Britain. It's just you know.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
It's there. It has to come to your wedding. But you know it's on the table at the back.
It's a bit like you with your brother.
Me and my brother are tight. I think it's a difficult relationship because yeah, he's jealous, Fred.
Okay. Well, Ben, in the 2011 Six Nations, you broke records by gaining more meters than any other player in the competition, which led you to hold down and lock in that fullback jersey for England's infamous World Cup campaign in New Zealand. Forget the rugby of that World Cup. How loose were those fucking nights out? Tell us all. I mean. Were you part of that crazy gang?
Fred, I before you say anything, Pops, I don't know if we need to because I've got What a Flanker here, book by James Haskell. I'm sure there's some quite good details in there.
Well, it saves
us. What I love about Haskell's book is that he's done the audio himself. is the sign. Mate. That is a sign of a rater, a good rater. I'm going to write my own book. I'm also going to do the reading of my own.
There's
book,
nothing right? he wouldn't do for cash.
I like listening to it because I always feel like he's next to me when I'm walking or anything like that. It's quite comforting. Yeah. And next time I go out, actually, I might just try to get my AirPods in and just go for a pint with Hask in my ear.
So I listened to him on the good, the bad, and the rugby as well. And he was saying like, I kept my nose clean and the whole of the thing. I knew what I was doing. He didn't. I there was one thing that came up that he didn't keep his nose clean at all. He was part of the bad boy crew.
Of course he was.
Naughty fridge.
Can you tell us about the best night on that tour for you?
Well, obviously it was the dwarf throwing night. But it was a stitch up. It was a big stitch up, the whole thing. And it sort of, it put a bad taste in it for everyone as well, because it was a good piss up, but everyone, you know, we went in between Romania and Georgia with the two games we were playing. So we knew we were going to win those games. So they knew to take us away from Auckland. And if we were going to have a little bit of a loosener and a let go, you know, take us to Queenstown, is it? And just let us loose on the town for a little bit. And the boys went tobogganing and bungee jumping and stuff like that. And then there was a big night out in one bar where everyone just sort of went for it and let loose. But it was a big stitch up, you know. I can't remember what the night was called, but basically it was a night where they'd hired their own special security to be there. Obviously, the dwarfs were there for some reason, and it was just a big stitch up, and obviously made the 10 o'clock news with Tins supposedly with a mysterious blonde girl who is actually married to my friend now. So I know the mysterious who the mysterious blonde girl, and there was nothing to it. So it was all blown well out of proportion and put a massive bad taste in it for everyone, because once that happened, we were sort of in a bubble, and anything that we did was sort of caught up by the media.
Fodes, you've won two premierships, European Challenge Cup, countless other honours and personals, got over 30 caps for England. Why did you decide 2 years ago then to go to America and pack it all in? Surely you had offers from bigger clubs in Europe.
The main thing for me was that to go and play for another premiership club just didn't make sense to me, in terms of like, I'd go there as an old guy, sort of using my experience to bring through some youngsters. But I just wanted to finish my career with Northampton. I'd done so much there. I'd achieved what I set out to do there. And so if I did go away, if I was going to go and play again, I was either going to go away to France, or obviously this opportunity in America popped his head up. But I never really fancy playing in France, to be honest. I never really chased the money. I got big offers over in France in like 2012-13, and if I was going to go, that was the time to go, to sort of go and cash in the chips. But I always wanted to sort of stick around and see if I could get back in the England team. I got some bad injuries picked up, and sort of after the World Cup in 2015, I knew that I wouldn't be playing for England again, so I was just going to see out my contract in Northampton, and then see what was around, and obviously the opportunity to go to America and play in a completely fresh league that was only just starting, and that opportunity to go and play in America. I've always wanted to live in America and see what things are going over there, and I'm sort of glad with the decision now. Obviously, meeting my new wife, getting married to an American out here, but there's loads to sort of get yourself involved with over here because it's so fresh, so new. At the moment, I'm sort of trying to, with a friend, setting up a production company to make a sort of like a BT Rugby Tonight sort of thing for the MLR, coaching roles, that sort of thing.
If you want me to come over, folks, and, be a presenter, I've got a high profile here in Clapham. The rugby world do enjoy my pitter patter. Just let me know. For a fee, I can be there.
No, it's a bit different over here. The Americans and the English is a little bit different, so we have to
But that's the quite good thing about my chat. It translates through any sort of culture or language. People just get me. Some people surprisingly don't even listen to me. They just enjoy the general sort of vibe I give out.
As I remember it, you'd moved to New York, and before we could all catch our breath, you'd not only just met the gorgeous American socialite Jackie Blenoff Smith, but within 2 weeks you're getting married to her. On somewhat of a contentious day. In our last series, we tried to get out your wife within 10 weeks and it failed miserably, but you've achieved it in two. So can you tell us your memories of that incredible fortnight?
Not really. It was very blurred. It was the summer. We went out to Nantucket for a wedding as well, one of Jackie's friend's weddings, which was a big event, and just had a whale of a time. And by the end of the holiday, we were like, bugger it, let's just get married ourselves, and the rest is history.
Pre that story, there was a little thing about a Bumble profile being leaked, which I know annoyed you greatly. Were you not aware of the celebrity dating app Reyes at that point?
I was aware of it, but for circumstances, I didn't join it because other people were on it.
Okay.
Freddie Burns is on it now, and he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, that's it. I know that. Listen, and Cipriani and Tommy Evans completed it long ago. So
yeah. Well, Max Evans was on the show recently. The guy is a machine. We're actually sorting out a fairly good night. I don't know when you're next back in the UK, but we're going to Archer Street Wine Bar in Northcote Road. Me, Max, Tom, Nicole. Who else was on the show? Jeremy Irvine's coming.
Yeah.
Who else was on recently?
I love Jeremy Irvine. I love that you got him on because that kid is a legend.
Mate, he's got some good chat. He's actually starring in our new... I'm writing a script at the moment. It's right. Coming out next Christmas. It's a lot like Notting Hill, but it's called Clapham Junction. Right. He's prominent. Actually, it's quite interesting.
He's the Hugh Grant. He's the Hugh Grant of it.
Yeah, he's playing sort of a similar character to me. But interestingly, Fodes, while we're talking about that, I don't know if you know what we're doing in season three of this podcast, but we are attempting to go and get a Christmas number one, and with all donations going to Restart Rugby. We've created a song. We've got a few people signed up. Haskell, We tried to get Levi to come on. But
is Haskell on the decks or is Haskell singing?
He's doing one line and he's also doing a house, hard house remix. So yeah, and that will be on back row beats. we asked Dylan Hartley, and he I don't know if we can use this language. He said to fuck off.
Yeah, we have a real good relationship.
I don't really know. I don't think I'd get on that well with Dylan. He tried to offer me out on the good, the bad, and the rugby. But
once you're in with Dills, you're in with Dills. You've got to be in the inner circle with him. But if you're not in the inner circle, he hasn't got any time for you, mate. So you've got to get in there.
What I might have to do is go down to Northampton and bring my toothbrush with me and get in that inner circle. But
that would be one way.
Folks, do you think you'd be keen? Could we get you to sing a line on the song?
Oh yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, why not?
Perfect.
That is how huge. You do business.
That is huge.
Because you can't handshake on Zoom. I'm just pressing my pressing my hand on the screen. If you just press your hand on the screen, just press your hand. That's it. We just touched.
As just mentioned there, you obviously hit the big screens last year when you did the Celebrity X Factor, when you made up the band TriStar with Tom Evans and Levi. How much fun was that whole process? And do you remember the first night where your bandmate locked lips with Nicole?
No, I don't know what he told me about the first time that he locked lips with Nicole.
Were they on a night out or?
It sort of funneled down to him from certain people that he knew that she was interested in him, and then after one of the performances, I think we all got invited up to her dressing room where she has all her crew and stuff for drinks after the show, and obviously, you know, I had to leave and go and see my lovely wife, and Levi obviously left as well, and I think Tommy stuck around for a little bit and had a little bit of a night out with her. But it was awesome. The whole thing was bloody, you know, magic.
It's interesting. It's interesting you say funnel. Because there you go, everything good includes a funnel. Yeah.
But both, you know, the Evans as well. I'm sure that's where you got the butt funnel from. So.
Yeah. Max said he's done a bum funnel while skydiving out of a plane. That's the kind of loose character he is.
He is a loose character.
Just before we let you go, because you've been absolutely brilliant, Archie struggles, with sort of many things in life, but
not really.
Also trying to create the perfect date. You've got 24 hours in London with your new wife. What's in the itinerary to impress her?
Oh,
ideally Clapham, but if you don't know the area well enough, it may have to be stretched.
Just Northcote Road. That's all you need. Northcote Road.
Go for a bar crawl all down Clapham, I think, and then obviously end up in the wonderment that is Infernos. Look, a real
I could come. Get
a table. Yeah.
I could.
I bet you'd be there. Actually, I'd want you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, CEO of Clapham, I would open. You know, make sure you get discounted everywhere you went.
Folks, we ask all our guests who come on the show what's been the highlight of their career so far, and also their biggest regret.
Highlight of my career is probably winning the Premiership with Northampton Saints, because it was something that's going to last in the history books, because they'd never won the Premiership title before. So that team will sort of be remembered forever in the Northampton Saints logbook. My biggest regret was probably not playing fullback straight away. As soon as I was sort of off of the two, you know, Philippe wanted to play me fullback, and Jim, when I signed for Northampton, both wanted to play me fullback. And I think that me sort of holding on to playing nine sort of deferred me from earning earlier caps.
And Fodes, you've been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for giving us all this time. But just to finish off, I know you didn't really have beef with your teammates, but surely there was one person who just wound you up the wrong way.
Nah, not really. The only one time that I've ever nearly come to blows with anyone is I played against Paul Hodgson, who was a scrum half for London Irish. And he grabbed me by the nuts. First time he did it, I laughed and thought it was funny. And the second time, it bloody hurt. And then I said to him, like, if you do it again, like, we're not going to be friends by the end of the game. So that's the only time I've really actually lost my temper in a game.
That's actually a good note. Just want to say to all rugby lads, look, ball grabbing is all good if it's banter. I actually don't mind people greeting me with a good old ball grab, but if it's aggressive, then it's completely out of order, and you can fuck off to Putney and play with the hockey boys.
Ben, you've been absolutely awesome, mate.
Folks,
pleasure to spend time
so much,
with you.
Mate, for coming on.
All right, boys, take care.
Dun, dun. na 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 na. Oh oh oh!
What the hell are you doing,
mate? I'm singing the song celebrating one hell of a kickoff for season three. That was bloody good banter,
mate. I'm not sure I don't think he liked you that much.
What do you mean? Of course he liked me.
He was laughing at you.
No, no, mate. You just don't get rugby chat. That is like, that's what boys do.
What, you just laugh at?
Yeah, we have like pitter-patter back and forth, mate. Like a boxing match. He absolutely loved it. I've got to say, for a guy that's married and got kids, he's actually got fairly good banter.
I thought he was
a lot of guys I know with kids and married just got shit chat.
You know, I think the listeners after that interview will go like, how come we didn't hear if Archie's had any experience with the American lady? Have you?
Freddie, it's funny you say that. I mean, I've been with a lot of nationalities.
Have you?
You know, one thing about the old Archie cousin is he speaks the language of love. And probably about just over a year ago, I was in number 32 and having a hell of a night with the boys. I started talking to this chica who I thought was American. And but then at the end of the night, I actually realized she was from Newcastle. But they've got similar accents.
How the hell did you make that mistake? They're completely different.
No, no, very, very similar accents.
No, they're not at all, mate.
I think you'll find they do. Right, anyway, safe to say, the chica came back to mine and she was a satisfied customer.
You took her back to Casa de Cousin?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And lots of dry humping ensued, I'm guessing.
No, this time it wasn't dry humping. It was a lot of snogging. I don't want to go into too much details, but there was a lot of snogging.
We've been asked by our listeners to bring back the business section.
Yeah, yeah.
They said we're missing the biz.
Freddie, I know, because a lot of people contact me directly on my Instagram. I've nearly got 39,000 followers.
Well, honestly,
I don't know if I've mentioned that. And yeah, I know, and I've actually brought my own jingle.
You bought your own
jingle?
Yeah,
well, I'm doing my own jingle for the business section.
Mate, we don't need it. We don't need it.
Ready? The business section with Archie Cousin, sponsored by Suns.
Wait, what are you doing? You got like a stutter? Is that
No. I'm adding an echo. That's just one of the things I can do.
Mate, I can do that in post production.
No. I like just what I need. Right, what I actually need. Can you put a like a news jingle under it?
Yeah, sure.
Like a Channel 4 news jingle. Something that says news.
Right, okay.
Welcome to the business news with Archie Cousin, sponsored by Suns. Cut.
So, Archie, just before we jump into the business section, I want to tell the listeners quickly about Suns.
Okay, go.
So, Suns is a men's health brand that's helping guys with one of the key health issues they don't often talk about.
Like getting it up.
What?
What?
How to keep their hair.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Carry on.
Right, okay. They do this by offering free online consultations with doctors, provide a range of licensed and medically proven products
Brilliant.
For preventing and treating hair loss, and they deliver results in over 9 out of 10 men. Better than your ratios, Arch, there. Yeah. And they do this via a monthly 1 or 3 month subscription delivered directly to your door. So it's reasonably priced with no hidden charges, and you can see the results within 3 months. So why wouldn't you get on board? If you're showing signs of thinning out, or if you're paranoid about hair loss, get on there. It's a free consultation with the doctor, and you're going to have your hair back in 3 bloody months.
Yeah.
But guys, show hair loss who's boss. Go to suns.co.uk and use the code RIGBIZ20. We've got codes everywhere to get £20 off your first order. Archie, the world economy is still not recovered. You know, they were forecasting a V-shaped recovery. It's taken a hit in August. Looks like it's taken a hit in September.
Yeah.
And they're crying out for innovation in the marketplace.
Yeah, yeah.
So have you not come up with an idea to try and spark
this
revival?
We are doing our own
revival.
Sort of Dragon's Den. I want the listeners to write in their business ideas. And the best ones, we'll bring them on the podcast to pitch to me. And if they're good, then AC Limited will invest in them and design them and sell them.
So, guys, if you want to get involved, just send us a message with your idea for a new product for AC Limited, which is going to re-spark this country's economy. And Archie will invest it and bring it to life. We'll bring the top three onto the podcast in a couple of weeks' time to pitch in person. Incredibly exciting times. So, guys, if you think you've got a good idea, get in contact now. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the first episode in season 3. We hope you enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, they would have. That was one hell of a first fixture.
It was good, but as we promised...
Guys, again, well listened, well played.
As we promised...
I don't know why I say well played, because they've done nothing.
No, they haven't. As we promised at the beginning of the show, we are getting bigger and better guests as this season goes on.
Yep.
And I don't know, what's the biggest show on TV which is about to restart? A little show called Strictly. What's the other biggest show on TV? A reality show called Made in Chelsea. Who do we have coming on the podcast next week?
Langers.
Who?
Langers.
Jamie Lang.
Yeah, Jamie Lang.
We've got Jamie Lang coming on the podcast, the star of Bade and Chelsea.
Absolutely love the C.H.T chat.
Well, it's quite funny. Two public school boys, both love their rugger.
Yeah, but he's skinny stacked. I'm actually stacked. That's my problem with the people in Bade and Chelsea. They're skinny stacked.
Mm.
And they're a girl on Instagram with their tops off. It's like, guys, you just haven't eaten.
Yeah.
You know, my rig is like this because I eat well and I'm stacked.
But
anyway, look, I'm looking forward to having him on.
Yeah, he, business-wise, he sort of walked into the business world 4 years ago. He now runs the biggest confectionery company in the country. I mean, he's making a lot of coin, that guy.
Yeah.
And he's now on the biggest show on TV.
So am I. So it'd be great to go against him. Right. And it's the second fixture of the season, and I'm looking forward to it.
I just hope it doesn't
get
competitive.
You've got to remember, Fred, that every time we play these celebrities, when the rig biz plays these celebrities, we have got the home advantage. Trust me, he won't know what's hit him.
Guys, don't forget that all the relevant links for your discount codes for Sons and Beaufort and Blake are in the information box below.
All the banter is below.
Yeah, if you want to get 15% of Beaufort and Blake, go get it now. If you want 20% of 20 quid of Sons, go get it now. And also, we've got our incredible merchandise through Rex Club, which is also going to be linked below. So guys,
just get spending, please. I mean, it's not like we charge you for this chat, and we could. This chat is expensive. If we bottle up this banter and we put it in Selfridges, we could sell it for like 200 quid a bottle.
Well, guys, please keep commenting, keep sharing, keep reviewing, keep this thing growing, and please start to get ready to pre-purchase the Christmas number one of 2020. It's been a tough year for all of us, but we will bring more smiles to your faces over this season than you could ever imagine possible.
Guys, just remember, onside, chat.